Hey, welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. I am Antonio, and I am so excited to be recording this special one-year anniversary episode. Come on, round of applause. Insert clapping track. Man, we are just so pumped to be here. We've been talking about this for weeks. By the time this gets dropped tomorrow, it will be April 11th, which April 12th was our first upload of our Rock Life Podcast. Cool. So 1 year, and man, it has been such a blessing. I have a special group of people. We're going to do introductions, although they need no introduction. But this group of people have been the various guests that we've had throughout the year, our different hosts. And man, what a privilege it is to celebrate you. We are missing Pastor Jessica. So if you see Pastor Jessica, say, hey, I miss you on the podcast. We'd love her to come back more often. But we are here. So let's start over here to my right, your left, I'm assuming. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Paul, and I've been on the podcast a couple times, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm Brian, excited to be with you guys.
I'm Pastor Dan, as always, representing me and Pastor Jessica.
Yep.
Hey, Pastor Teresa, I was on here once doing a singles episode.
Pastor Joel, nice to see you guys.
All right. Well, hey, like I said, it's a celebration, and we're keeping it lighthearted. We're keeping it fun. But also, we want you to stay tuned all the way through, because as fun and lighthearted as it is, it's always good, because there's going to be some golden nuggets that we believe are going to encourage you, represent you well. We're going to discuss the message from this past week. Come on now, get your hopes up. Was that the title, Pastor Dan?
No, the title is still the law of faith.
See, but that's what what I took away was get your hopes up.
Point number two is get your hopes
up. Yeah, see, get your hope. That was like a, that was a get your hope
the
up message.
That hit, right. That was the takeaway
for
you.
Yeah, that was the takeaway for me.
Takeaway for everyone, I think.
And then, like I said, it would not be a celebration without food. And instead of a birthday cake, we thought about having a birthday cake. But my wonderful sister-in-law, Vanessa, baked some homemade cinnamon rolls. She lives with us, and so she was baking them making them last night. And I was like, oh, she slapped my hand away when I tried to. But anyways, so we're baking.
I just need to describe for our podcast listeners who can't see the glory on the plates in front of us. There are ooey gooey cinnamon rolls. I mean, you can see the puddles of sugar and cinnamon on the bottom. Yeah. The icing is melting over the sides. When we walked in this morning, the smell coming out of the staff kitchen was fragrant. I think it was a pleasing aroma to the Lord.
And, it was a gift offering for the
definitely, definitely. So
I already took my insulin.
Yeah, you know, and you're not able to.
I'm like, I'm doing a fast right now, and so like at noon I'm gonna partake. Okay. So I won't partake. Normally I'd be like the cooking shows, you know what I mean, where you have to take a bite, you know. But I didn't want to be like in a napkin.
Well, Ian, can we eat while we? No, is that probably not a thing? I don't
know. You can, as long as you don't
get
in the mic.
It's not just decor. That's what you know,
I don't
want to
hear your
it's
smack
real.
Sounds on the.
I know. That's true. You know. So if you see me wiping my mouth, that's what's going on. Well, hey guys, in the spirit of the podcast and what we've been trying to do over the past year. Again, we're so grateful for those of you who've tuned in. Maybe you came in midway through, or maybe you've been a part since the beginning. Let us know in the comments. Man, we are just very encouraged. I know at the doors and as people have shared with us, it has been a fun adventure. And that is large in part due to all of the people here today. Your insights, your perspectives, the messages that you guys have shared have made the podcast possible, because what we're trying to do is not just, you know, we started with the sermon rewind, right? But that's a
give
call
the people
out for
what
those.
They want.
Yeah, but also we want to make sure that you are coming. This is a supplemental conversation that is going to be adding to your life, taking the message, which is awesome. But a message can only be 30, 40, 45 minutes, Pastor Dan, right? 50 minutes, it can only be so long.
If the preacher preaches
if the preacher preaches long. But we also want to, as practical as the messages are, we get in this conversation, in this space, we get to add a little bit more of those insights. So we're glad to be able to do that. I don't know if anyone wants to open up by maybe sharing one of your favorite episodes, of an episode you were on, an episode that someone else was on. And, you know, hopefully that's not putting you on the spot too much. You were supposed to rehearse these things. Just kidding.
Can I know, huh?
Questions.
Redirect your question, because I've been thinking, because you told me yesterday, hey, we're going to talk about the message. But I just want to tell Pastor Dan and everybody who's watching, it's so interesting. A lot of times when we're preachers, people assume that we don't sit to hear also and be ministered. And I just tell you a story that happened to me on Sunday. So you preach and get your hopes up, you know, believing in faith again. And so Spanish service comes right after English service. And so I preach, And I went home very discouraged. And I told my wife, I said, man, I just feel so discouraged after, you know, preaching. I, what happened? I said, some of my illustrations were stuff that happened, you know, maybe 10 years ago. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. And I just want to commend the where we're at in the law of faith. And I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I need some new faith testimonies. Wow. I need some new, you know, some new things that you're doing now. And I think if I can take anything away from the message on Sunday is to believe the Lord for now. We've seen great stuff, but we need to see new stuff. Yeah. We need to see God, what God is doing now faith-wise. And so I just want to say, man, kudos to God leading you in those messages and encouraging us to believe again. I think that's awesome.
Well, thank you. That's so encouraging. I know I'm in similar spots where I'm looking for God. What is the now vision? Mm-hmm. What is the now clarity? You know, I'm asking God for those things and praying and seeking the Lord for those things because, you know, we all know we've got some notches on our faith belts and things like that. Right. And in this season that we're in, it's easy to just rest on your laurels or that's what God did. And yet God has something for us here. And, you know, without those hopes being high, you know, what is the picture that we have? And what is it that our faith is working on? And so, man, that's awesome. That always is encouraging to hear those testimonies and reports.
Yeah, on Sunday I was like, man, this is something. Because I just think the message, the encouragement for all of us to believe in a new season and something new God is doing. So, enjoyed it.
I did have to tell Melissa that the faith list is not a honey-do list. It is something that she could do as well, not just, you know, a list of things that she wants me to complete. So, no, it was I
Melissa 11, the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. No, it was I will say you know, it was a phenomenal message, and I to reiterate what Pastor Powell said, I think so many times and you had mentioned it just now too, we can get so wrapped up in the things that we have overcome and make that we forget that it's okay to have new things that we're believing God for. And that I think that's what that it's okay to have your hopes up, because we do need to dream. We do need to believe God for more. We're never plateauing right until we get with Jesus, so we got to keep moving forward. And so I know I really excited, and it sparked a lot of great conversations for Melissa and I as we got home. What is it next? You know, I mean, because you believe God for the home, and then you get the home and it's like, okay, good, I'm good now. And it's like, no, God, there's more, right? What else is it that you want to do? You're believing for the job, you get the job, all right, I'm good now. No, but what is it that next step that God wants to pull out of us, because he wants those testimonies to continue to come. You know, there's going to be another sea to cross. There's going to be another miracle to take place. There all these different things, and it doesn't always have to be. I think even with me, it doesn't always have to be like, okay, well, God healed me in this area. And I think one of the and we can get all into this later on in the episode, but even with the questions that Pastor Antonio had sent us yesterday, like an area of your life where you got your hopes up. And I think that, you know, really exciting. I was thinking about when God gave me the house that he gave me 5 years ago. And it was like, yeah, it doesn't always necessarily have to be, okay, I just want to be healed in this, or I just want this one financial breakthrough. But it's okay to believe God for things that we want to be blessed in as well. And I think that's, you know, it's really good information that we could take out of that we can, you know, continue to step out in faith in our own personal lives.
I think, well, one of the important parts of that, because I kind of had a similar revelation too, Brian, this idea of call out the things you don't see, right? Hebrews 4:12, right? The word of God is a double-edged sword. God says it and then we say it, right? And we come into agreement with his word, and every one of us went through that in our youth, went through that in our mission, in our journey to ministry, right? And we've got all these faith belt notches, but God didn't give them to us to get us here. He gave them to us to equip us so that we can use them while we're here. And so come back to remembering, okay, I was believing for big things. I saw God move in an incredible way. I declared his word over my life and into my life and into my future. But now that we're in this station of life, what are we declaring? Yeah. What are we believing for? What's the next thing on the horizon? You've got the tools. You know how to do it. You've seen God move. So why aren't we releasing it now? And so when you said, what's on your list on Sunday, I start typing, oh, good, these things on my list that I'm believing for in the back of my head, but not in the front of my head, not declaring it out of my mouth. I'm just kind of hoping like it might happen, not the confident hope that I'm declaring is going to happen.
Yeah. Like, God, so is this powerful. Good enough? It's on a list, God.
Yeah, somewhere. Right? Yeah. But is it on an active list like I was when I was young?
That's good.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Amazing. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, those are all things that I think about, you know, even talking about crossing the sea, crossing the Jordan, you know, as you continue to follow that path, the children of Israel, they got into a place of blessing and abundance. You know, they went from miracles to blessing.
Yep.
And I believe that that's the will of God, that God doesn't want us to live off of miracles.
No.
Yeah.
He doesn't want us to live off of manna, right? He wants us to live off of blessing.
Yep.
Well, the blessing comes with a lot of hard work, comes with a lot of routine and duty and maintenance and all those things that we don't like. Those don't sound like vision. Those don't sound like, you know, what we want. And yet, you know, when we take a look at what is God's ultimate importance, you know, many times I've been challenged with what is the vision, right? What is the vision of the rock? And, you know, I've been told that I have no vision, you know, and the number one person telling me that is the devil and my insecurities, right? Yeah. So don't think that there's anyone out there, even though I've had conversations that have been uncomfortable, and they pressed me into areas of prayer, faith, and things like that. But think about it for a second. If King David had a vision for the temple, King Solomon got to carry out that vision. What was Rehoboam's vision, right? What were the Abijah and Asa?
Prosper himself.
Right? These. Well, and you think about it. What really is, after that vision, quote unquote, is done, what is the next real purpose and plan of God? What's going on there? And we can see that God obviously had them, and over and over again, I preached a message on it about holiness. You know, going deeper into holiness, and did that on Wednesday night. And over again, it talks about the preparation of the heart to seek the Lord. And I finally just got to Jehoshaphat, and it said that Jehoshaphat, because he linked up with Ahab in marriage and went with him to support him in battle, did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, all these other guys, there was like, hey, you're evil. You know, there might be a little good in you, you know. But Jehoshaphat is like, you did evil, but then it stops and it says, but in this thing, you prepared your heart to seek the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that even Melissa, we were talking the other day about Joshua, and it's like, so here's Moses, and he's bringing the children of Israel out, right? Joshua gets to carry out, but then who is Joshua investing in to continue to pursue that? And I think even the vision, not what the vision is that we have, but are we even casting vision into others that are going to take that or that next generation that's going to advance further? You mentioned David, right? He had the vision to build the temple. Solomon built the temple, right? And I think that's where, you know, continuing to cast that vision and not just get our hopes up for ourselves, but get our hopes up for our children, get our hopes up for the next generation, get our hopes up for those that are going to carry. And how can we continue to build that on a high, right? Not allowing ourselves to ever get comfortable, complacent, okay with where we're at, but believing God for more.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the temple obviously was a place to connect people with God, right? Yeah. Same thing with the Rock Church World Outreach Center. The building itself, yes, was vision, but what was the vision? Was it a building?
No.
We could build buildings all day, every day, and that would be the vision, but it's not the vision. The vision is connecting people with God, right?
Yeah.
And so that's where empty seats are not a part of our vision, right? Full sanctuary, full seats, you know, outreaches that aren't attended or that are ineffective. That's not a part of our vision.
Right.
You know, I was so blessed by this recent outreach that we did in the Loving My City event because it was literally an open door into the school systems. Mm-hmm. You know, they were asking us, can we do more? Okay, when are you going to come to our school?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the vision, right?
Yeah.
Is that we're getting Jesus into people's hearts and getting people into Jesus's heart, right?
Yeah.
That's really where the vision is at. And as we keep those things in front of us, what am I hoping for, you know? Well, man, I'm hoping for a full sanctuary, and I can see that in my heart, you know?
Yeah.
Every time we go in, I'm hoping for great altar calls.
Yeah.
Those altars are filled every time. I'm hoping for people that are getting it, you know, that their marriages are repaired and restored.
Yep.
Children grow up serving the Lord, and you know, multi-generational ministries that, like you just mentioned, who are we training? Right now, I've got guys on my radar, you know, that I'm looking at. I hope that in their future, they're going to be the church leaders that are carrying this thing to the next generation, you know, and so that's a huge part of my life right now is that investment, you know.
Yeah.
We did this this ISOM conference and pastors gathering earlier this year, and I thought that was great, but could I be more effective with a smaller group of guys?
Yep.
Could I be more effective if I just took pastors out one-on-one rather than spending all this money on food and, you know, the conference and all that? Not that it was bad. It was great. It was wonderful. People have texted me and said, man, that was so encouraging, this and that. But could I be more encouraging?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I spent the money on a lunch for some guy, yeah, one person, then invested in that guy,
yep,
who's young and coming up and who's going to impact their city for Jesus, than to, you know, preach a message to a bunch of guys in a room.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably. I think good. So. And that's where I have great hope,
yeah,
for the future. You know what I mean? Awesome. A confident expectation. God's doing something in this hour, and he's doing it in our church.
Yeah. Yeah. Pastor, yeah. I want to wrap up that idea that you said about Rehoboam. You know,
yeah,
his grandfather and his father had a vision to build the house. Now the house was built.
Right.
Right. So what is his vision? Their purpose, their calling was to be the people of God on the earth.
Yes.
To be the people of God so that through relationship with, yep, God, God could bless the nations of the world through Israel. And so instead of doing that, they go through disobedience, mm, correction, come back, disobedience, correction, come back, disobedience, correction, wow, repentance. And so many times we do that. Right? We get the miracle from God. We get the salvation from God. God forgives us, sets us straight. And then we forget that our point is to be in relationship to God, to be a blessing to the people in our world.
Absolutely,
in outreach,
yeah,
and telling people about Jesus, doing good works. And then we go into, I need a miracle again because I've been in disobedience.
Yeah.
I need a miracle again.
Wow.
And God's like, no, learn from the people of Israel. Learn from the Old Testament. Follow me in those redundant, obedient, everyday, yes, things, and watch me manifest my presence through you to the world around,
yeah,
you.
That's good. Amazing thing I was reading this morning about Jehoshaphat. It's just on me, right?
Yeah.
Whatever you put in is what's going to come out. So you poke me, and Jehoshaphat's going to come out because I was reading about him this morning. But it says that he went, and I never saw this before, but Jehoshaphat, who's the king of Judah, at the time there's a divided kingdom, okay?
Yeah.
Ahab was the king of Israel at that time. And it says that Jehoshaphat went into the kingdom of Israel, into, and it says from Beersheba all the way to the mountains of Ephraim, right? So pretty much he went from south to north, right?
Yep.
Throughout the land. And it says he gathered the people of Israel and brought them back,
yep,
to Judah, to the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
I thought that was, wow, fascinating. I'd never seen that before. I was like, whoa. Even though he dwelt in Jerusalem and in the kingdom of Judah, he went to another nation, essentially,
yep,
right? They're brethren.
Right.
We understand, but right at this time, it was a divided kingdom. So that was like going to someone else's territory, taking their people and bringing them back to God.
Yeah.
Because they had a connection with God at one time. And I really sense that in this hour, that is a huge part of the church, mm-hmm, is that we need to go into enemy territory.
Woo.
And
good.
Grab a hold of the people,
amen,
that once were connected to God, that are no longer connected to God. There's so many, and my prayer is, even this morning I was taking a prayer walk, and it's just centered on, God, there's lost sheep, mm, right? And if Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep and we're under shepherds, Jesus, I need you to go after them. I need you to get a hold of them, right? Go get the lost sheep, right? And if I as an under shepherd can help,
yep,
what do I got to do to get those lost sheep? I mean, they're not going to church.
Right.
Whether 2020 wiped them out, an offense wiped them out,
right,
a lethargic, apathetic relationship, right, with God wiped them out, something stopped them from going to church.
Mm.
I want them back in church,
yeah,
you know, and I want new people, obviously.
Yeah.
But man, my heart still goes out to the lost sheep, because at one time, like we've been talking about, they believed God for their marriage and it got,
yeah,
restored.
Yeah.
They believed God to get off drugs and they were delivered.
Yeah.
They believed God for their children and their children were raised up in the ways of the Lord. Something happened along the way, whether it was just the cares of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things, persecution, right? The devil. Any of those types of soil we see in the parable of the sower, somewhere they got off.
Yeah, and they stopped getting their hopes up.
True.
Well, hey, we haven't heard from Pastor Joel yet, and I know we're talking about.
He's
here for the cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, I'm here for the cinnamon rolls and the good conversation, because it's actually helpful. There's nothing that the Lord will bring us of a test of faith that's not hard.
Mm.
There's nothing. There's nothing. I remember one man of God challenged me in a season of my life when he said, okay, he heard all the good things that was happening to me, but he said, that's what God did. I'm challenging you to find what God's doing,
mm,
and go after that. So to me, that's the wisdom, that when we have these faith challenges, believing and hoping and expectation, I wrote it down this way. What are we desiring in our faith to see a positive outcome that God wants from us?
Yeah.
And that's always a continuum. God is never satisfied with the now. He's always looking at the future, future generations, future blessing, future victories. And he's always testing our faith and challenging us to make us uncomfortable to get to that spot of where he wants us. The problem is when we find success or when we find a brief moment of blessing, we want to camp there. Mm. Yeah. And we want to stay there. And God is never satisfied with staying there. He always wanted to move Israel forward. Like you guys are walking through the Bible, I am too. There's always a journey. The promised land wasn't the end game for God. It was global salvation for the whole wide world.
Yeah.
And that crossed over to the New Testament, crossed over to Jesus, and now we're celebrating Easter in a week. And we're saying, God, we're not satisfied with the souls and the thousands that have come to the rock. We want more, Lord. We want to declare more people saved, the wells of salvation to continue to flow. So when I'm tested in faith like this, I'm always challenged with a hopeful expectation that God's got this, but I got to go after it, even in an uncomfortable situation. That's very hard to do. You have to stay motivated. You have to stay in your word. You have to stay hopeful. All these things, you know, the redundant life, you know, the everyday traffic, whatever it is, discouragement of finances, wherever you're at in your own place, there's enough to look at to be discouraged over. But what is God challenging you that you're going through now that has a hopeful expectation, but it takes you to act upon it? That's what faith is. Faith is pisteo, what? The action based on what he declared in his word. So what are we believing for, Pastor Dan? What is the rock future? Not what the rock did. That's great.
Right.
I mean, the rock's done a lot of great things. What do we hope for the future of this well to continue? Amen. The declaration long ago was the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And the Inland Empire is not saved.
Well, that's still a part of the vision, right?
That's right.
Still where we're at.
That's
because right. And that's where, you know, we hope and we believe until. There you go. You know, that's where we left off that end of that message was until. Until what? Until the Inland Empire is saved.
Right.
And, you know, like you said, all the earth will see the glory of God. And that's where we're not satisfied with even just the Inland Empire. It's never just about the Inland Empire. It's about California and the United States and the Western Hemisphere and to the uttermost ends of the earth, that this would be a global thing that God is doing on the earth. Now, we know that we're not the only ones that are going to be involved in the Inland Empire being saved.
Right. No.
We're not going to be the only ones involved in global salvation for the world. And so we're linked up with the body of Christ, but that is still our heart's cry, still our passion. That's why we're launching the discipleship materials after Easter, is because if we can get them saved, and then if they don't stay in the house, they're never going to be raised up. And we'll be saying, where are they? Where's the lost sheep again, right?
Need another miracle.
Absolutely. They're back to the miracle phase. You know, let's get them on the meat of the word. Let's get them on sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest, what God put into us, that we can work in faith and see them become the ones that are not just getting saved, but now they're getting others saved,
yeah.
Right? Where we had to go get them, now they're going to get others,
yeah.
Right? Making disciples that make disciples.
That's right.
That's always the vision, and that's the passion, and that's on my heart right now. We just did Spanish translation of the materials. We're working on Korean. I've got a guy I'm meeting with this afternoon about the Bengali languages and you know, getting into India and that sort of a thing. Dr. Barron, working with the International School of Ministry, he said, let's do it in all the languages. I said, amen, you know.
Yeah.
And with AI now, it's just gone nuts, the tools to make this really easy for us, you know. I'm able to plug that in and just go straight across.
We're launching it in the Bible app.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's going to come out on YouVersion. I'm not sure when that'll come out, probably a month or two. But yeah, and we're actually doing one for churches that if they want to use it, that it doesn't have any rock branding or anything on it. Just you can put your own logo on it if you want, or just leave it as is and just use the book, because it's not about the rock getting fame or acclaim or anything like that. It's about Jesus, and it's about disciples. And it's about advancing God's kingdom, right? Use it for free, you know, print out your own copies or, you know, whatever. That's fine. Put your name on it. Say you wrote it. I don't care. God wrote it. You know what I mean? Right. It's his word that we're launching this out of. And that's really the passionate cry of my heart is investing in disciples, investing in the next generation, you know, raising people up to get into our city and into the Inland Empire and globally on a greater scale than we ever have before. That's the hope in my heart. That's the picture I see. Yeah. You know,
amen.
Church plants, all that.
I wanted to go back to the message a bit, Pastor Dan, and anyone could chime in on this one. You know, we talked about, one of the points was getting the hopes up, but one of them also was speaking those things. And you made a reference about this is not manifestation. But if you could, maybe for the listener, those watching, what's the distinction on that? Because sometimes people, that verse has been abused, right? That verse has been misguided, that the idea of speak those things has been used to out of context or in a way that is not healthy. But so when you say this is not manifesting, some people know what manifesting is, some people don't. It's kind of a newer thing that we feel like seems like is a big in culture. But if we want to speak to the distinction there and why it's important to understand that distinction when we're going to be making a declaration.
Right. You know, the present cultural phenomenon that they call manifesting is that you've got positive feelings about something. And so you're speaking and declaring it over your life to make it appear. And the word manifest really means to bring out in the open, to bring to light, or to.
You hear people say, put it in the air.
Put it in the air.
In the universe.
Right. Yeah. Funny story. Can we tell a funny story?
Absolutely.
My first spiritual guidance meeting. So I'm a young pastor. Okay, I was here on Mondays and Tuesdays, so everything that walked into the front office, and some of you guys around this room know what this is like, because after Sunday, everything walks into the front office and needs a prayer, needs an appointment, needs something. And so, you know, as the young pastor who was just zealous for the Lord, just getting started, fresh out of Bible college and ready to do anything and ready to serve, the front desk found out that I would actually answer my phone, whereas some of the guys who'd been around for a while knew, like, I'm busy, I'm not going to answer, but I answered the phone. So, Pastor Dan, can you pray with someone? Yes. Can you do this? Yes. Can you do that? Yes. And so a couple came in, and they weren't married. They were just dating, and they sat down across from me, and they said, okay, we want to tell you about something. I said, sure. And the man said, okay, I spoke into the air. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, and I said, she will be my wife. And then they looked at me, and the girl, okay, said, do I have to be his wife? I was like, are you kidding me right now?
It didn't manifest.
And I said, do you want to be his wife? She said, no. I said, then no, you don't have to be, you know, like, what are we doing here, you know?
Why are you dating?
It was wild. And he said, but I spoke it into the air, and now it has to happen. I'm like, it doesn't have to happen. That's not the will of God, right? So manifesting, when we're speaking something out, putting it out in the atmosphere, doesn't mean anything, you know? And I believe that the devil loves to affirm foolish beliefs, right? And so if he can make something happen for you and, you know, I'm going to manifest good vibes and manifest a promotion or something like that, and the devil prompts your boss, hey, this guy's been doing really good, and all of a sudden you get it. What are you going to do? You're going to reaffirm a belief system in your life that's the way that this happens, you know? Yeah. And definitely there is an enemy that's working overtime to try and keep us foolish and keep us, you know, in his systems rather than in the systems of God. So manifesting, just having a good feeling about something and putting something out in the atmosphere and speaking it until it appears, that's the process that the current cultural world is doing. Where this falls flat, okay, this is where the erroneous part of this is that if it's not the will of God, are we creating something that is opposed to God's will, or are we working in futility against what God is doing in our lives, right? And then on the opposite spectrum of that, so when a believer says, I'm going to declare in prayer the things that I believe that I receive, and I know that I will have them, and I'm not going to let up on my confession, right? I'm going to hold fast to the confession of my hope without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. So how is that different? Well, first of all, is that number one, faith can only be founded in the Word of God. Okay? So it's not what I want, it's what God wants. Right? Now, that doesn't mean that I won't have a desire for it, right? Because if God says in his word that he wants our prosperity, do I want prosperity? Sure. Does that take finances? Did that take resources? Did that take things that I want? Sure, absolutely. You know, God has promises of providing the things that we have need of, whether it's homes, whether it's land, whether it's clothing, you know, transportation, all those things. God knows what we have need of. So if we desire something, and if we desire a nice one of those somethings, is that bad? Is that wrong? Is that opposed to the will of God? Absolutely not, right? God has no problem with those things. And yet, he has a problem with those things having us. So what is our motivation behind it, right? Because if we're in air, will God bless us while we're in air? No, because then we'd stay in air. Okay, so if the motivation of our heart is just positive vibes or our own selfishness, that sort of a thing, and we're just trying to manifest something, God will oppose that because that's a prideful thing. It's not submitted or humble to his will. So when we find a promise in God's word and we say, I can see the promise of God's word by faith, I can see what it is that God wants. I have a hope, a confident expectation of what I see in the word of God. There's a blueprint, and so I'm going to declare it. What happens is that I hear myself speaking the promises of God. Faith is built now. It's strengthened in that moment. And so the more I declare it, what am I doing? The more I'm building faith. But also over time, what am I doing? I'm building into myself a confident expectation. It's going to happen. I don't know when. I don't know how. I could see a different way for God to do this or whatever, but God is God and I'm not, right? And I just know that God said it. I believe that it's going to happen in his time, in his way. And so I'm going to be faithful. And then if there is action steps that God puts in front of us, if there's things, right, faith without works is dead, we're going to do what we can do in the natural. God will do what he does in the supernatural. So prosperity won't come without work. Healing won't come without healthy living, right? A good marriage won't come without mutual submission and love and respect and honor and all the things that we see in the Bible, right? A pure and holy life won't come without taking things out of our lives for that are polluting us, you know, those sorts of things. So that's where faith and works come in together. We're not manifesting it. We're working with the grace that God provides us, that we have a hope, a confident expectation. We're declaring it. We're doing what we do in the natural. And then God, at his time, his way, will bring it to pass because God promised and he's faithful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's also a, you know, people need to be aware that there is a spiritual world, right, Pastor?
Absolutely.
There is an enemy of your soul, and the Bible talks about lying and deceitful signs and wonders. Mm. When the enemy does exactly what you said, when he hears your word, makes him come to pass so that you go down a wrong path that leads to the loss of your eternal life, will lead you straight to hell following those signs and wonders, right? Whereas God says, right, that all of his promises are yes and amen. He's given us his promises, but we've got to come into alignment and say yes to his promises, his plan, right? Because he said if we ask according to his will,
he hears us,
yep. Right? But we got to be aware and astute, right? There was that young girl that was following Paul and speaking truth, right? Because she was demon-possessed. And if we say, well, that's coming true, so that's godly. No. There's an evil and there's a good. And we must have discernment and make sure that what we're speaking and believing is from God and we're not deceived by the enemy.
Yeah.
That's so good. Does anyone have any thoughts or experiences of things that you have declared that you didn't see, that you were consistently and in faith speaking those things and then saw it come to pass? And we have an example of that.
I got a quick one, my son.
My wife said yes.
Oh, my wife. Oh, man. All right, we'll be praying for you, Pastor Paul, when this drops.
That's too crazy.
Oh, my. No, my son, when he was 5 years old, we got a word from God not to give him the shots, the immunizations. And so we didn't give him any until he was getting ready to go into school at 5 years old. And the school was saying, hey, he needs these shots to attend, that sort of a thing. We prayed about it. We didn't hear anything. And in disobedience to the word, the original word that we heard, we gave him some shots. Well, he immediately started having nervous tics. Mm-hmm. And it looked like Tourette's syndrome. It looked like, a number of different neurological things. And we even took him to the doctor afterwards, had him looked at, that sort of a thing. And it was very disheartening. And we were praying over him, praying for healing, had pastors pray for him, anointed him with oil, called for the elders. I mean, some of you guys were in that room when we prayed for him when he was little. And after a while, what ended up happening was we started to train him to speak over his own self, speak over his life. And we would speak the same thing. And Pastor Jim gave us a phrase. He said, all you got to do is just have him say, I have the peace of God and God's healed me. Because that nervous tic, right, that nervousness, right, needs peace spoken over it. But also, he needs to be healed of it, right?
Yeah.
So that short, simple phrase, rooted in the word of God, we had him speak over his life, and it took time. It took years, and it worked its way from the top of his head through his body. I remember, you know, there was times where it would be in his arms. You know, he'd just have to move his arms, and then it'd be his leg. You know, and it started with his eyes and his shoulders, and, but it literally worked its way through his whole body. And eventually, I have the peace of God, and God's healed me. I have the peace of God. And we told his teachers in school that if they saw that, they would just put a hand on him. What do you say, right? And he would declare that over himself. I remember crying with him on the stairs. Dad, why hasn't it happened yet? Why hasn't God healed me? I've been saying it. I've been dead. Bud, just keep believing. Keep your hopes up, you know. Today, he is healed. He's amazing. Amen. No tics. No neurological problems. Nothing. You know, all declarative.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did you have something?
Yeah.
Other than your wife?
The same thing. Yeah, I know. Other than my wife saying yes. Yeah. You know, the same thing
you
with her son.
You manifested that one. Put it out in the air.
Yes,
it's out there, America.
I worked hard for it. No. No, with one of my sons, also Pastor Dan, it was interesting. He was very sick when he was little. He couldn't withhold food. And so we took him to the doctor. He was 5%, so he wasn't growing. He just stayed really small and very concerning. I remember my wife said, you know what? I have a word from the Lord. And I think, because what happened is the doctor said, well, we have to do a colonoscopy. We have to do an endoscopy. And we were just like, this kid is 6 months old and you guys are going to fill him with tubes. So we went to prayer, and, you know, we felt the word from God is just believe him, and then a different feeding, like Pastor Nan was saying, we have to work at it. And so Tracy, my wife, said, hey, I think we have to feed him some special food, and I believe to go this way. I don't know if it was gluten-free, but she did something directed by the Lord, and it was hard work. We had to carry that food everywhere because he couldn't eat fast. He couldn't do any of that. So it was hard work prepping the lunches, coming, bringing them to church, and we would do church here. So take them to thank God for a wonderful children's ministry. The teachers knew, and we feed them this food that we brought them while we were at serving, and because we had started a Spanish service then. And so it was very difficult in that process, but we just stuck with the word. And the same thing, we held back from the vaccines. I'm not, you know, making a political statement. We just felt the direction of the Lord in these things. And eventually, little by little, he absolutely was changed. And we were so grateful to follow God's work, but it's not just a manifestation. I'm just going to be healed. You're going to be healed. You're going to be healed. It is the work. It is the prayer. It is the action. It is the believing. It is all of it that came with it. It is the believing God, this is what it is, and we're going to believe the food, because the diagnosis we were given is, unless we do all these things, he may have a tumor in his stomach, you know, all these things that were coming because he couldn't sustain food. And little by little, the Lord healed him, and he's doing well today. Man, you know, so.
I want to pause before we go into another example, because out of the examples we've already heard, we saw, and you guys laid out what the declaration was,
right?
And then you at the end gave what happened, but that middle part I think is the important distinction too.
Yep,
it was
right.
That there was days it was discouraging, there was tears,
right?
There was frustrations. We didn't see it, but that's why speaking the things, I don't see them right in front of me, and that's where our faith comes in. That's where our hope can be in what that result is going to be. And I know I sometimes can be one who lives in the clouds, and I love movies and the montage, right? So there's like, he gets beat up in the first one, and then there's the montage where Rocky's running up the stairs, he gets all fit, and now he goes in for the championship fight. But that is great in a movie because it's fast forwarded. Right. Why is it fast forwarded? Because it would be boring.
Yeah, correct.
It would be boring to watch someone change their diet,
right,
exercise, do the mental drills that it takes to get there. And I think that's the part for us believers gets discouraging, because we hear the message from the pastor that says, I prayed and then it happened.
Yeah.
Right. And we don't see the sleepless nights. We don't see the tears, the own doubting that we had to deal with, and all these other things. And those are really important for us to take away.
If I can just interrupt you, I remember, I mean, I love sports and basketball. If you guys remember, some might say he's the second best player, but LeBron James.
Oh, Jordan? Oh.
Third?
Bird. LeBron James said something that my wife and I were watching, I believe, when he won the championship in Cleveland. That was, what, 2017? 2017? Something like that. So he said something because he was performing at a rate that was athletically just so superior than everybody. And they asked him, because he went to 7 games, and both my wife and I were watching the game. She was really just keeping me company. But But so we're watching the game. I know. And so he says something. The reporter asks, hey, how do you sustain this? Like, this is emotionally draining. You know, the game five, the ups and down. And he says something. He said, at this point, if I remember correctly, at this point is mind over matter. You have to tell your body at that point your mind has to win. And then my wife says something so profound. She said, this is an athlete talking about the will of the human. Can you imagine what we can do with the spirit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine? If this is just a guy utilizing his personal resources, the natural, and he's able to perform at that level, can you imagine what we can do with the help of the Holy Spirit? And I think for Christians, that's where we got to tap in. Hey, what is the Holy Spirit doing? What is faith doing? How do we put it into action? Because it's so far superior than me just creating this mind game that's going to help me win. And a lot of people do. There's billionaires who have a great mindset, who know how to invest, but it is for selfish gains instead of us saying, Lord, what would the Spirit have you do in so many ways? So.
Well, one thing I just wanted to point out real quick too, both of you guys talking about is the practical, and like Pastor Antonio saying, I think sometimes we want God to just do it for us, and we want to discount the fact that there are things that we can change, and it doesn't take away from God healing, because all these things that God has given us anyways, these resources, I think it was mentioned in the message this weekend, that like the doctors that are out there, like God gave them that wisdom to be able to use it to help us, guide us into things that, there are practical steps that we can take and we need to take in these processes. And that's why it's so important that we pray. It's so important that we look up things and do the research, that we put the time and the effort in, the diets and those types of things that we have to do too, and not just get frustrated when it's like, why am I dealing, you know, believing God for my diabetes to get healed, but I'm eating cake and I'm frustrated that God hasn't gotten rid of my diabetes yet, right? What are the practical things that we can do in those healing, in that healing process? And I think those things are so important. And then continuing to declare those things, continuing to believe God. And then there are times, even when I know when my son was healed from asthma at 4 years old, fast forward, he's 21, dealing with this bronchial issue, goes to the doctor and like, oh, your asthma came back. I'm like, no. We're going to rebuke that right now. And again, what are the steps that we can take? But see, instantly the fear comes in, like, oh my gosh, here we are all over again. But no, you got to stand firm on what the word of God was then, that is today. And then if this is still the until, right? Until I continue to see this thing manifest, and not allowing the enemy to come in and speak this into my life, speak it into my spirit, because we can settle in it and allow these things to be spoken. And all of a sudden now we receive it as if it's truth. And going back and declaring, all this time has gone by, 17 years since my son was healed from it, you know, and I think that's some of the danger in living in the past.
Yeah.
Is that now that it comes back and it's like, oh my gosh, do I remember how to win this battle? And declaring again those truths, speaking what God says. And again, now, of course, my son is not dealing with that asthma issue that was trying to rear its ugly head back up.
Amen. Awesome. Good.
I want to share a testimony. I think for the young people out there, when I was a young person, I got a word from God. And the word from God required me to do something that the law wouldn't let me do, my pastors wouldn't let me do, the police wouldn't let me do, financial circumstances wouldn't let me do. And I had to put faith to it, which was hope, paint a picture, and have that confident expectation that God was going to come through. He had called me to go to Bible college in another country that wasn't going to allow me to return. I didn't have a penny to do it. My pastors didn't believe women should be trained for ministry, right? And so I made a list that night when God spoke to me, and I said, these are all the reasons it can't happen. And then I walked it out, Pastor Antonio, over the next 8 months, believing this is going to happen. I don't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to make it happen. And God began to open door after door after door. I left that country, left all my possessions there, because I knew I was coming back, right? I didn't have a visa. The police had to approve it. The government did not let people come back for 2 years in a row. I came home. I was waiting to find out what the decision was going to be, and I felt like I needed a breakthrough, and God's like, fast. And I did a 7-day water fast. At the end of that, the government said I could come back. And even when I flew into the country, they pulled me upstairs, investigated me, questioned me, because this doesn't happen. But if you get a word from God and you walk it out and you do the work and you believe and hold fast, God will do his part, and he will knock down every barrier if he spoke a word to you.
Yeah. Amazing.
Pastor Joel, do you want to close us out with a thought?
We're all walking miracles, if we're honest. I wouldn't be on this podcast if God didn't heal me from bone cancer, because people don't get healed from bone cancer. But I had not only a hopeful expectation, I had, well, 5 words from God, walked them out. Brutally difficult to do. Some lady at baptism reminded me of the journey, because her sister's going through that currently. And the Lord's kind of like, remember? And I'm like, okay, yeah, I remember. But the Bible says this, the substance of things hoped for. We have a ground and a secure faith that God delivers on what he declared. And if you believe it and receive it and take it personally for yourself, God will make sure and back it by not only his word, for test and time. And there's this persistence intention in the individual that you have to be at it. You can't give up. You have to be persistent, like Pastor Therese was declaring. Yeah. My healing didn't come overnight. It came with a lot of testing. I think I had over 3,500 tests. I had all this stuff that God brought to me. And I said, in the name of Jesus, here's another day. I'm going to have the victory. And today I'm cancer free. No sign of no past meds, no rejection meds, because God declared it and I believed it and I owned it and now I lived it. And that hope, Pastor Dan, is what you're declaring. That list that needs to be rewritten, that new thing that God wants to do. He just doesn't want to heal me. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal others. He wants to heal your family. He wants to bring salvation, good things, blessing. The devil wants you to doubt. He wants you to stay with limits and things that poverty mindsets that you will never be there. He don't want you to go to Bible college. He don't want you to cross over to new things. He wants you to stay put, shut up, behave, and just do that. But God wants always more from us.
Yeah.
And that more is what I'm loving about the faith declaration today in this podcast.
So good. Well, if I could say this, Pastor Antonio, today's podcast is brought to you by Easter.
Come on.
We're coming up with Palm Weekend this weekend. And we get the children's choir is going to be with us in the morning services singing.
Petting zoo.
Petting zoo for the kids and baptisms after church. So bring your shorts. If you haven't been water baptized, come get water baptized. Well, and
can
then
we say your shorts?
Your shorts and your chanclas. See, your chocolates, like Pastor Jimmy used to say. Remember that?
The way Pastor enters, the Raiders.
Raiders, orale. But then that next week, Good Friday communion service, we're going to do Passion of the Christ at 5 p.m. and then immediately following communion, and have a great, beautiful, holy time with the Lord. Saturday morning, I would encourage all the, especially the ministry servers, to be able to come and to experience the church services. And then Sunday morning, we've got the sunrise service. Bring some warm clothes, all right? Bring your blankets and your chairs and, you know, all the warm stuff. And it'd be great to worship the Lord. Pray for good weather, because they said rain on some forecast, but we're going to believe
gonna
God for we're speaking great weather, clear skies, beautiful sunrise. And then we've got our 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock services. Be here early, because we're going to have overflow. Yeah. Over 2,000 people saved in those services all weekend. And then La Roca at 1:30. Got to be a beautiful service. I'm believing for overflow en español. ¿Cómo se dice overflow en español?
Asientos extras.
Sí. Amen, pastor.
English, overflow.
Yeah.
So, well, guys, it's always a blast. Oh, I'm looking right here.
Yeah, right
we
there.
We love you guys. It's been what a wonderful year. We want to encourage you to come back, share. Come on, tell somebody. Post it, screenshot it. Let somebody know you're having a good time. We love you. God bless you. We will see you soon. We're out.